Welcome to the Kicking It With Ray podcast. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here to discuss all things reality TV from a black and brown perspective. From dating and marriage to competitions and everyday pop culture, I'll be diving into it all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Kicking It With Ray. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here with my bestie, my biffle, Bree. We are here to discuss Love is Blind Season 6 that has dropped the first 6 episodes already. So if you have not watched, please stop and go watch the shit show and then come back because you won't understand anything we're talking about. Okay, we decided to kind of break this up based on the couple/triangles that happened in the pods to make it a little bit easier instead of doing like episode by episode, because then nobody take notes. It was too much. Okay, yeah. So Bree, you said we're gonna start off with the unproblematic faves first, right?
Yeah, let's just start with those that are not that complex. How's that sound? I don't want to call them unproblematic because that in If some couples are unproblematic, then naturally that means that there are some that are.
Well.
Yeah, you're right. But I would say that the problematic ones are way more complex and more layered. So let's get to the ones that are just like, wow, little cute love stories.
Yeah. Kind of forgot they were there.
Because they're so simple in the grand scheme of things. Like, you know, so I think the first off the bat is Amy and Johnny.
Yep. Love them. She is a Latina woman. He is a kind of good looking white man. He's kind of like, is it strawberry blonde? Is his hair kind of like,
I don't know. I'm into it though. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. A little bit of length of hair is also nice. Someone made fun of his man bun, but I liked it. He gives surfer vibes to me. Like very sun-kissed and chilling by the beach, very cool. I think what's nice about these first love stories that we get into is I am a fan of going in there liking someone and just sticking with them and choosing them and sticking with them to the very end.
No problem.
Johnny chose Amy and Amy chose Johnny and they just really like each other, and I think that's why they were so easy to forget, because I don't even know if they got a lot of screen time, because I just imagine they were enjoying each other in their conversations.
When I went back and watched it, I was like, oh yeah, we did have a whole conversation with Amy and learned about her brother who's on the autism spectrum. And she asked him if he'd be comfortable with him coming to live with them one day. They had like a whole conversation about family. They talked about the Three Kings Day holiday that her family celebrates. And he sang the song, which I was like, whoa, you know the words. That was crazy. I was like, all I know is we three kings, and that's it. I can harmonize.
Oh. Well, I grew up in Catholic school, so I was like, he gets it.
But what was crazy is she didn't know the song.
Right. So they were, or maybe she does. Maybe they sing it in Spanish. You never know, right?
Maybe. You know. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, who knows? Maybe she's like, oh, yeah, I didn't know those were the actual English words. I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, oh, wow. Like, yeah, we sing something similar. It's called
Somos Reyes. I don't know how to say kings.
Yeah, like, you know, something like that. Yeah. So,
they were precious. They were the first ones to get engaged. They were engaged by episode 2. So that was cool.
Which is, I mean, I wish the other stories weren't as complicated, because I think we could really love Amy and Johnny. But they get glimpses of just being happy and really being in love with one another and kissing up on each other and trusting one another. So it's like this very linear, cute love story. I'm not saying that they don't have, I feel like there were some little bumps. Like at first, I think he wasn't sure. I think she keeps bringing up that he's not the type that she would usually go for.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
She goes for darker men.
Yeah. She consistently says, and this man is not dark at all. Once again, coming back to strawberry blonde.
Right.
So, but it doesn't come across in the way that a later couple doesn't have attraction. It's almost like, wow, he's just not what I typically would go for. And that's okay, is what it kind of gives.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like it could be a cultural issue, but I think their whole bond over the Three Kings, I think that that was like, this is solidified. We go together. It was cute. What I did learn from listening to Natalie and Deep D's podcast is that even though they show us the proposals and them meeting all at different times, that all happens on one day at the end. So like they yeah, so they're telling the love story in a way that we can digest it easier, but there was like at least 2 weeks in between them actually proposing.
Got it.
Yeah, or so, I shouldn't say 2 weeks. Whatever the time is that they're in the pods, all of the meetings happen on the last day of that. Let's say it's 2 weeks. I don't really know.
Right.
But, yeah.
So even if I propose to you on day three, that doesn't mean I get to see you on day four. I still have to wait 2 weeks.
Exactly. So according to the way they kind of phrased it, is like this proposal probably didn't happen that early on. It probably did happen later because they still have to continue to date and stuff until they can meet. So I don't know. I feel like I'm going to go back and listen to their podcast just to see, but I don't think anybody proposed and then had to wait 3 to 4 or 5 days until they could actually meet.
Yeah. Or maybe they propose and then they still get to kick it like as fiance and fiance, so yeah,
that is also possible. So that's pretty much it for Johnny and Amy. Not much more to say. Yeah. They aren't really there for most of the drama either. So, I mean, do you have anything else to say about them?
No, I mean, really cute, really adorable couple. I am nervous when they get back into the real world, but, I don't have full predictions yet. I think there might be some cultural things. I think, I get nervous when someone is consistently saying someone is not their type, or like bringing up what their type is. And I'm like, maybe she didn't say it that much. Maybe it is the editing that goes alongside.
They do seem really attracted to each other. So hopefully they'll work past that. As of right now, do you think they're going to say yes at the altar?
I don't see any real speed bumps happening there. Same. They seem committed enough.
And I will say that even though she's Latina, she's a very, very light-skinned Latina. Like, if she hadn't told us, she didn't have an accent or anything, so if she hadn't told us, I don't think I would have known.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, like, because normally whenever I do my post, I do all, like, black and brown people. Didn't know she was brown. So I do apologize for leaving you off that list. I really could not tell. So, you know, I love to see it. But, yeah, I feel like even though culturally it might not 100% match, I don't think it's going to be an issue in terms of like interracial dating, like some other couples might be. So,
yeah, which right I think is a good segue into the next couple.
Yeah, who are our second least problematic. We have Kenneth and Brittany. Kenneth is 26 and Brittany is 25, which I forgot to say the ages for Johnny and Amy, which they're both 28. So that is kind of perfect. Anyway, Kenneth is 26 and Brittany is 25. Brittany's white, Kenneth is black. Let's just put that out there.
And they do not seem fazed by it yet. On honeymoon, and now there are some commercials that are hinting at some speed bumps that might be coming up. I don't know exactly what they are.
And Brittany, sweet as hell. I like everything about her. They're both really, really big Christians. So that was really important to them. I loved seeing them bond over that. I personally don't follow religion, but I love whenever people can bond over those type of things. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You should be on the same page about religions with people. So I loved that. But Brittany came very close in one of her little interviews to basically saying, I don't see color. Everything she said was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. His color doesn't matter. My color doesn't matter. And I was like, oh, it kind of does, though. Like, it kind of does.
Yeah. Yeah. And there have been some conversations around race because they both would like children.
Mm-hmm.
So on the honeymoon, AD, who is also a black woman, and Kenneth got some time alone and they checked in just around race and what that would be like in the future.
Yeah.
And she's raising black kids, and to which Kenneth really talks about being pro-black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one thing he says is that he's never dated a white woman before, which I thought was interesting. He definitely, he gives me vibes of someone who has dated a white woman before. So I was kind of shocked.
Well, I'm not shocked because I also think he went to an HBCU. I looked it up online.
Which one?
Yeah. So I do believe NCAT. And if they are like in North Carolina, makes I think sense. That is
Yeah,
correct.
yeah. North Carolina A&T makes sense. Jiho, yay.
Yeah, so I am pretty sure that's where he went. If I'm mistaken, we'll go back and record this part.
Somebody
and
will
fix
record. Someone will correct us. It's fine.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll be fine. But with that, I think if he went to an HBCU and, you know, he's literally one day out the HBCU womb. He's only 26. So, you know, I could see him not really having experience with women of other races if he had a very Black experience and feels pro-Black. I also wonder what that means about his foundation and values. Like, yes, it
his
is.
Family.
For example, they are both very into religion. I wonder if they're into the same religion, like, you know, like if they praise and worship in the same way.
Yeah.
So, you know, which, you know, they can be very different. They can be very different experiences.
Baptist Christian when you're Black is very different from Baptist Christian when you're white. Very different experiences.
What if the brother's Kojic, right? Like, we don't know what's going on there. We got some real, it could be very deep, you know? And I think at the surface level, they seem like their values are aligned. They are very, you know, she was also an educator, albeit he's 26, he's a middle school principal.
Which is crazy. Like, how do you get there that fast? I love it, but
I'll save my opinions for it being someone that's in education. I trust that he has done the work that needed, but also how almost, you know, like it is, you know, like I think like if he has 3 years in the classroom, let's say, right? Like that's kind of when you get in your somewhat of your groove. Like I feel like your 5, 6 is when you're like, oh, this is me as an educator, really, right? And then, yeah, he hasn't been old enough to have that much experience, but maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe he graduated college early or something, and we don't know. Or maybe it's a situation where it was like one of those school districts no one really wanted to be a part of. Nobody wanted the job, and he stepped up and like was the only one. You know, that happens. That happens. Ooh. I was a manager at my airline, and most senior girls would give me shit about it, but none of y'all wanted it. None of y'all wanted it. So, so I took it, you know, like, yeah, maybe it's that. I don't know. But listen, that's an amazing accomplishment. And we just take it. To be fair,
he's very driven.
They were filming this when he was like just turning 25. So that's even crazier. But
well, yeah. He's very driven. He's very dedicated. He's very, you know, he can command a space in a room. Mm-hmm. You know, I can see that leadership in him. He has a lot of great qualities around him.
Mm-hmm. Which Brittany, makes sense that he wants to get married now.
Right. Brittany, same. You know, she is a very sweet girl. They make sense with each other at their values and on that level. I think they're going to have a lot to learn about each other, though, mm-hmm. as they move into the real world, especially with interracial. I think it doesn't matter to them in the pods. We'll see how, if it matters in the real world.
Yeah, I agree. She's really pretty. He's handsome. I think that they look cute together. I think they could be a really good couple. We'll just have to see how she navigates, especially with her, because he's already told us that he's very pro-Black and he needs his partner to be too. So I hope that we get to see them approach those conversations. And I just hope that she's not dismissive of it, because her whole like race doesn't matter. Like, it does matter. And no, it shouldn't matter in the like, I'm judging you because of your race, but you have to be able to navigate things that are dangerous for your husband and your kids. And you have to be able to be their advocate, their ally, and all that. And I feel like she is a strong enough woman that she could do that. It's just going to be like, are you comfortable enough? Are you educated enough? Do you want to? So that's, I feel like it's going to be where their trajectory kind of goes.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it, and I hope they make it to the altar.
Me too. I have them as a yes.
Okay. I mean, I do hope they'll make it to the altar. I am maybe right now, because I need to see this episodes. I need to see them meet the family and things like that. I'd be really
based
happy
on just them two. I think it's a yes. I think
yes. Yeah, then it's 100% a yes. But yeah, the way that this goes, who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah, super cute, though.
Moving on to our first love triangle. We have
Oh,
Jeremy,
Lord.
Sarah Ann, and Laura. So what did you think about Jeremy? Because I've seen a lot of like back and forth about him, and I personally liked him.
Like is a strong word. I find him, yeah, like I think what is annoying him about, like what is annoying Laura about him would annoy me. He is always joking around, very big personality, not Laura's personality. And I think he's not bad, but he seems like someone who's always on, and she shouldn't have someone that's always on. I think he would have been better off with Sarah Ann.
I think Sarah Ann's a little too conservative for him, I think.
Oh, yeah, but I think her personality was a little bit more aligned with his personality. Yeah. So, I mean, he ended up in a, I don't know if this was a win-win situation. I don't even know if Laura, I feel like I don't even remember his dates with Laura, though. So
all I remember is her nitpicking him about his Hawaiian shirts. And I was like, girl, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Tommy Bahamas was a whole phase. Like, I just, I don't know. She was very, like, annoyed by it. And this is the first of the couples where I feel like they came together because somebody just wanted to win. Like, Laura just wanted to beat Sarah Ann.
Yeah. Laura felt very strategic throughout this whole time. Like, she felt like, the reason I say we don't remember their dates is because I don't even know if Laura was putting herself out there as much as she was like, if I stay level enough and low enough and keep Jeremy interested enough, I can beat out Sarah Ann, you know?
Yes, yes.
So yeah, Laura just felt like she wanted to end up making sure she wasn't not married.
Exactly. Like, she wanted to make sure she, and I don't want to say definitely doing it to make her time on the show, but it definitely felt like this was not who you actually wanted to be with, and you just kind of settled for the one you liked the most. And their ages, just to say that real quickly, Jeremy is 32, Laura's 34, and Sarah Ann was 30. So yeah, I agree. I didn't feel like Laura really gave a fuck. Sarah Ann, though, I think she came off a little too desperate. Like, Laura definitely had a more cool girl, like, I don't really care if you pick me or not. Sarah Ann was more like, no, I'm really into you, and like, it should be us.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I feel like this season, the girls that were like, I really want to be with you, I choose you, lost.
Yes.
Like, they were losing out. It was more so, let's play this elusive game of, do I like you? Do I really not? I don't know. I'll save it to the very end. And I feel like those girlies really won this season.
Yeah.
And maybe in the real world. I don't know. Is that something? Is that something to take from?
No, I definitely agree that it almost seemed like the guys were too scared off by the women who really chose them. And same with the, on the other side, because we have a couple coming up where this man was only picking you, and you went for the guy who wasn't sure, wasn't sure if he wanted to go another way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't, it's giving weird. So we see in some clips coming up, but so far, Jeremy and Laura, it just seemed like everything he does annoys her. So the biggest blow up that they have is in episode 6, there's this whole scene where Jeremy says to AD, like, something about bean dip. I don't remember how he phrased it, but he says to AD something about bean dip. And AD is like, what? She's like appalled that he would say this.
Right.
The audience is confused because we don't know what the fuck they're talking about at first.
Yeah.
It just goes back and forth with AD being like, Laura, you told him to say this or told him to do it? Not very confused on if he was told to say it or do it, or was he told anything at all? Unclear.
Yeah, what it sounded like is because also throughout this time, not only do we see the relationships between couples develop, right? We see in the quarters that people become friends and they develop those bonds. Mm-hmm. It seemed like in the girls' quarter, there was a bean dip sort of joke, right? Which is a specific way of hitting a boob, is the bean dip sort of motion. If you didn't know what that was, I didn't know. I went to Urban Dictionary, and the reason
I
it's
had to Google it
is because it mimics how you dip a chip into some bean dip or something like that.
Which I don't get it.
I never do this. Yeah, I never do that motion. I never do
Yeah, I never understood. I still don't get it. Like, yeah, whatevs. But honestly, I didn't like how sexualized AD felt the entire time at the honeymoon. So this is the first time all the couples are meeting. Laura tells Jeremy as a quote unquote joke. I guess bean dip came up between them. So she said, yeah, you should bean dip AD.
She claimed she didn't say that. She was very adamant that she did not tell him to do it or say it. She was, her argument was that it was a conversation between them two and he shouldn't have brought it up to her. He is like, no, you told me to say this.
Yes. And also the other girl who was there agreed that she was like, you said bean dip AD. So there
Okay.
was another witness there that was like, yeah, you did say that, right? So, and I don't even know if she denied it as much as she was upset that Jeremy would bring it to the space in this way. And AD, in my opinion, rightfully so, was like, why would you tell your partner to do that? Like, either jokingly or if you meant him to really do that. Also, Clay, now several degrees removed from this, but who is AD's partner, is appalled by this as well. Like, and basically says, let's just be clear, no one will be doing that to AD while I'm. And I don't think he made a big scene, but what ended up happening was Laura made a scene out of this and was very unapologetic about it. And I hated that.
Completely. It was disgusting to see her behavior because she just kept doubling down on being like, it was a joke. He wasn't supposed to take it seriously. And AD's like, no, girl, you need to, like, AD is like telling her, you did wrong. You need to apologize. Not using those exact words, but I feel like it was obvious that's what she was asking for. And Laura just kept being like, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. And AD's like, it is a big deal. It is a fucking big deal.
Yeah. Especially Laura was more upset at Clay's reaction, it seemed like, as opposed to herself. She took zero accountability. It was
No.
Jeremy's fault. It was Clay's fault. AD needed to chill. It was really gross to watch her and her interaction in that moment.
And I don't know if it was just the alcohol or if she really is just this way, but it was gross to see. I'm not a fan of how that all went down. I already was like skeptical on her, and that definitely was like, okay, yeah, she's something's wrong.
Yeah, I'm not a real fan of Laura and Jeremy as a couple.
Yeah, but I don't like Sarah Ann even more just because of the whole conversation. So I love that they had this conversation and they showed it on air because I think these kind of conversations are important. Talking about politics and your beliefs on things, it's so important. I just had that conversation on a first date recently. It's very important. So Jeremy asked her what are her political leanings, and she says she leans more conservative. And she says that when it comes to abortion rights, she feels like it only should be for people who are raped or incest, not for people who just made a mistake. Which, can I just say for a second? I think the stupidest argument to people being irresponsible is that they should have to now raise a child. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, like these people are super irresponsible. Raise a human
Let's
for.
throw a human in there now. Like, what?
Yeah.
It doesn't make
And
any
y'all
sense.
have to be responsible
For
for,
this,
like, let's give irresponsible people the biggest responsibility ever.
to raise a human life who didn't ask to be here, and now their whole life is probably gonna be fucked up. Not necessarily, not saying all mistakes end up bad, but like you're risking it. You're risking them having a shitty life all because you think punishing people is giving them a child. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. I think that argument is the dumbest of all of the like pro-life arguments. That one is the stupidest to me.
Right,
So
right, right. And like typically, it's not established people that are making these sort of decisions, right? Like people are doing it for whatever reasons they have, right? Like they don't think they'll be connected with the parent, the other parent, or they're younger, or like there's so many different reasons.
many reasons.
So,
If you know you're not going to be a good parent, why force that on somebody? I just don't understand that. So,
yeah.
anyway.
And I think, yeah, everyone has their own reasons, rights to their own bodies. I think it's very interesting when people, especially women, are kind of
conservative about those sort of things. But
and so Jeremy's response was that, as a man, I don't think it's any of my business to say what a woman does with her body. And she, to Sarah Ann's credit, she respected his answer. But I think he was trying to say, like, no, I think that people should be able to have abortions if they fucking want to have abortions. He seemed very liberal about that. Then they kind of talked about LGBTQ plus community. I don't remember what her response was on that, but I know that he said he has friends that are in that community. So he's very much like an ally.
Yeah. I don't remember that conversation either. Honestly, Jeremy just seemed to have like a lot of personality with like joking around and things like that. So I feel like I tuned out sometimes, like, oh, okay, Jeremy's
here. That's true. It was hard.
And again, none of the, if I'm quite frank, neither one of these combinations felt like the one to me and felt good and made me happy and made me think they were going to the end.
Right.
I'm hinting at what I'm getting at. I do not see Jeremy and Laura making it to the end.
Not at all. Not at all. I feel like I would have liked to have seen Jeremy with like Chelsea.
Oh, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that would have been a better pair.
Hey, maybe. All I know is that this one is not okay. This one is, I actually pray to God they don't make it to the end. Like, you know, it's one where I don't feel hopeful about their future.
No.
At this point, I'm kind of nervous. I think they really do not match. Mm-hmm. I think somebody's not going to end up alive, essentially, if they make it.
Yeah.
At this point, they both seem very disgusted by one another. Like,
you know, relationship feels a lot like Zanib. And what was her partner's name?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, where everything about the other one just annoyed the other one.
Yeah, they hated each other. And It's like, even when you're trying to be nice, that you, like, nothing you have done before is nice. So it feels mean because I don't trust it.
They do not communicate well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. But it's because when we think back to it, they were not communicating in the pods. You know, she was playing it cool, I feel like. Except for like, maybe they planned their holiday together or something like that. That was like one of the things or something, right? Their big thing. But I think they didn't get to the real conversations to find out if love is blind. I think he ended up more so not cool with Sarah Ann. And then was like, oh, Laura's still here. Let me go with Laura. Like, it felt like a more turned off by Laura Ann more turned off by Sarah Ann than he was attracted to Laura.
Agreed. Which is going to be interesting because we do see that him and Sarah Ann can reconnect. And there's a part where we see Laura being like, you were talking to her till 5 a.m. So, like, I don't know. Maybe there is more there. Maybe he can overlook the conservative aspect of her. I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But I don't think this couple is making it to the altar at all. And this is the kind of time where I wish we had seen his conversations with some of the other women. Because I'm going through the list of the contestants. And I'm like, there's a lot of cute young girls here who seem like they'd be a good time for him. And we didn't see any of that. So
who knows with cute young girls? You don't know they're cute and young and until who knows how the conversation starts off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So next, we both agreed they're not making it.
We actually hope they don't is what we're figuring out.
So this kind of leads in to, did we say we wanted to do the whole triangle between Clay, AD? Yeah. And the reason I think this is a good transition is because of the way Matthew started off all his conversations and how absolutely terrible it was to watch and I'm sure to be a part of. The biggest one. So Matthew has this list. He is some type of an account person, whatever. He comes in with this Excel sheet with a list of questions. They all have a number. And every woman, he says, pick a number and I'll ask you the question to it. First girl picks a number. And then after she answers the question, she asks it back to him. And he's like, oh, I wasn't expecting to have to answer it back.
Matthew was really hard to watch at first. It was for reals hard to watch.
one woman, I think it was with Sarah Ann, in the middle of her answering the question, he just gets up and walks out.
Oh my gosh, he was so gross. Yes, right.
I was cracking up. I mean, that's so disrespectful. Don't be that way. But like,
He walked out several times. There were several clips of him getting up and
yeah,
walking
I feel
out.
like that was the only time he did it in the middle of her talking. The rest of them, I felt like he walked out, but I didn't feel like it was the same as in the middle of them talking. I don't know. The women will have to tell us.
And then someone chose question four, and he was like, "That question's been chose a lot today. Choose another."
Yeah, he's like, can you be more original? She didn't hear the other people, so this is original to her.
Why would I think that everybody's chose four?
And once again, y'all, they are in pods behind walls. So he didn't, she would have never known if he didn't read the number four. He could have just read whatever number three said. She wouldn't have fucking known. So
Right.
I'm like, that to me means you don't want to be here. You are so fed up. Because so what, like one of the things that happens to me as a flight attendant is we get asked a lot of the same stupid questions over and over again. But we have to remind ourselves that just because it's being asked over and over again, it's not the same person. So I can't get annoyed because I've been asked the same question multiple times. It's different people. So I got to give them a different answer, or I got to give them an answer that it sounds chipper, happy, you know, customer service friendly, no matter what. And I feel like he doesn't know that part about customer service. Like, you can't get annoyed at somebody saying something to you for the first time just because it's the 20th time you've heard it that day.
I mean, I'm with all the girlies in the house. So essentially, at some point, Matthew wins over a few of the girlies in the house,
We
which
don't know
are in.
how. We don't know how. It doesn't make any sense.
No, we do know how. He wins over. We'll get into his conversations with AD and
But
Amber.
that first conversation, we never saw the conversation with Amber, but with that first conversation with AD, I'm just trying to figure out what did she say that all of a sudden he just like melted, because
Yeah.
it was wild.
But yeah, so it's very strange because Matthew is really an a-hole to everyone throughout this time. But then all of a sudden, we don't really see his conversations with Amber's, but we can assume they're almost mirrored to those with AD. And he's just starts melting and is like, I'm never really breaking down like this with anyone. And it seems so true because it was such a D-head with everybody. Like, it was really ridiculous. He was terrible. So then when AD goes in the house and is like, wow, Matthew's so sweet, everyone's like, Matthew, what? Drake.
They're all scrolling through their notes like, were there two Matthews? Like, what
Yeah,
did
because like
he
Matthew is so he's so gross to the point where Clay finds out he's in a love triangle with Matthew and he's like, what?
Yes.
Like, why would I ever be in a love triangle with Matt?
Yeah.
Because Matthew's in the house with him, and Matthew is the same a-hole in the house that he has been to the ladies in the pod. So,
We even see
yeah.
at one point, we see, I believe it was Jimmy talking about how Matthew must be a secret sleeper because like he's still going on dates and stuff, and they're trying to figure out how. They just don't understand how anybody has connected with this man.
I mean, we see Trevor trying his best. Trevor is a really sweet dude. We'll talk about him next. But he's like, hey, bro, you want a sandwich? And Matthew's like, no. Like, it's like.
Just shut everything down. He does not want to be friends with anybody. So at somehow he ends up bonding with these two women who are both named Amber, but Amber AD goes by AD, which shout out to girls with middle name Desiree. We love to see it. But yeah. But AD and Amber, who are friends in the house, all of a sudden start kind of like vaguely talking about their connections. And AD realizes that what Amber is saying is mad similar to what Matthew has been saying to her. Now, at the
I
time,
don't even want to say similar. It was the same
you're right.
script.
It was verbatim, like the same things. Now, AD at that point doesn't say, like, oh, you're talking about Matthew? Like she tries to play it kind of secretive a little bit, which I feel like is a weird tactic. Like, I feel like we can talk about this later, but I want to talk about your strategy if you were in this type of situation. But I feel like if my friend is saying something to me that I have also heard, I'm gonna be like, talk about like we
Talk about Matthew.
need, yeah, because wait, like I would have been comparing notes right then. AD kind of waits, goes back and talks to Matthew again, and he tries to like weasel his way out
Smooth
of
it
it.
over.
Yeah, by like love bombing her and being like, I didn't say to Amber, let's leave right now. I didn't do that. Do you think I did that to her? I wouldn't do that to her. And just literally like love
Which
bombing
had to
her.
be what was said because Amber comes back in the house
and literally says what we just saw Matthew say to
her.
AB.
Yep, verbatim. So he did. He flat out just lied. And then, so when AD does come back and they're having this conversation again, Amber connects the dots. Is like, wait a minute, ma'am, be so fucking for real right now. Like, and so Amber is the one to be like, we are talking to the same man. And Amber decides to bow out. I don't even think she goes to talk to Matthew. I think she's just like, I'm done, and leaves the whole experiment. Which, go to you, young lady. Yeah. So this
happens. Some messy stuff happening. Sorry. Yeah.
So this happens, and we just see Amber being like, I'm bowing out. And that's all we hear from her. I'm kind of pissed about that because Amber seems great, and I would love to have seen more from her.
I have a feeling we're going to see more of that because Matthew comes to AD all emotional and is like, I got to go get Amber. So I feel like we're going to see him chase Amber a little bit.
That's true. We mind could.
You, yeah, mind you, when he was talking to AD, though, he was like, the things that I didn't say the things I said to you, to her, like, you are my choice. And but now he's running after Amber.
Yeah. So after Amber leaves, AD goes back to Matthew and basically is like, this is not it. And as Matthew is leaving, he says, I'm going to go find Amber, which is stupid because she left like because you were playing them both. I really hope that she does not try to give him a chance, but I would love to see them talk. You know how
I
last
sit down.
Yeah, I would love a sit down. Last season, we got to have a sit down with Zach and Bliss. And look how that turned out. Like, they're having a fucking baby. So, right. So I
and don't forget Uche.
Oh, yeah, and Aaliyah. And Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Yep, we got to see that too. So I hope that we get to see that conversation. And I hope that they intercut it with a video from the pods. Because I just want to see him say these things to her. I want to see how they connected. I just think that
we're going to see it at the reunion.
I hope so. Because I just think it's absolutely messed up that we didn't get to see that at all. So... anyway, yeah, they
it's a reunion
are
clip. I guarantee it's a reunion clip. So they're saving it
side by side, side by side. That would be awesome.
And I was like, when we didn't see it, I was like, wow, I am watching the reunion. They don't show it in the reunion.
I'm about to send this idea to Paria.
I'm running the Cancel the Shade. I am running the Cancel the Shade campaign.
So I want to see it side by side. And then Matthew, answer for your sins. If they even really have him there, you know, they hardly ever have the singles come. So that's going to depend on how they film it, I guess.
No, I think the singles usually show up. Sometimes they don't want to, though. Sometimes they know that they're so gross,
no,
but they don't.
No, think about it. Like, the only people that ever really show up are the ones who made it to the honeymoon part. Was like,
I guess to the honeymoon, yeah. Not the post, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying they get married, but, like, if you didn't...
Did Uche not show up at the last reunion?
Nope, he did not.
But I think he was invited, but he chose not to.
He claimed that he was... working. Oh, so Aaliyah did come. So I think Aaliyah is like the only person who has come to a reunion who did not make it to the honeymoons. But to be fair, they would have if she hadn't left. You know, they were a couple that we wanted to see and then she left. So I think maybe that's why.
And that's very similar to what happened with Trevor and Amber. So maybe we'll get them.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break and pay some bills. And we're back.
So moving on to, well, not really moving on because we're still talking about this triangle. So AD this whole time is trying to decide between Clay and Matthew, two completely different men. We didn't mention this before, but Matthew is a white man who I do think is attractive. I definitely was like, oh, he's giving me Clark Kent vibes.
It's definitely this very nice Clark Kent vibe about him. And honestly, when he started sweet talking AD and what he said to AD and Amber, if it was exactly the same, I get it. I 100% get it. It was so sweet how he was talking to AD, and I 100% get it.
It was perfect. Everything he said was perfect
for him. Yeah, he was like, "Can I? What is my best experience thus far? Is like meeting you or something like that." Biggest, greatest accomplishment of my life, he said, meeting you, which would have been me. He was love bombing these girls like it was no other. Yeah,
yeah. Which is a crazy. If a guy said that to me after 2 weeks of knowing him, I'd be like, "LOL, huh, JK? Come on, buddy."
Matthew was 100% there for the cameras because even he was more upset that he had embarrassed himself on national television than he was that he broke two girls' hearts.
Yeah.
For sure. In my opinion, he kept bringing up the fact that he's doing this on TV. more so than I've ever seen anyone be concerned about the cameras. I don't think I ever hear anyone mention that there's cameras here.
No. The closest we had to that was, I believe it was Jeremy who was asking Sarah Ann and Laura how many followers they had on Instagram, which was weird. I didn't really, because he didn't kind of elaborate on why he was asking that. So that was weird.
Yeah, I think he was trying to see, he stereotypes people with a lot of followers, is what I was getting.
That's what I was thinking. Like maybe he didn't want a girl who seemed to care about her following, but I feel like we didn't elaborate on that. I don't know, or maybe I forgot, because again, he's a guy who jokes too much, and so it's kind of hard to
Yeah.
didn't
He's a
know.
very interesting egg.
Yeah.
But yeah,
So
Matthew was scary. Matthew has some
definitely
very scary looks.
serial killer vibes, it felt. He's very off. So you have him, and then you have Clay, who is your typical black guy, which, well, not typical, because I've never met a black
Wow.
guy named Clay.
Black
Maybe.
men are a monolith now?
Yeah.
Wow.
He is a DJ. Oh, and so he's 31. Amber AD is 33. Oh, Matt, I didn't realize Matthew was 37, so he's old. He's too old to be playing these kind of games. And then the
Be
other
a
girl, 31.
psychopath, yeah.
But so Clay is a DJ who just comes off very player. He doesn't really want to open up with AD. She's having fun talking to him. Like he comes in like, "Oh, AD all day," and they're just like joking back and forth. I would have walked out.
Oh, Clay.
I would have pulled a Matthew and walked out. Was very corny, but you know, AD is a better person than I am. So she stayed. She allowed it. And they were having a fun relationship, but you could tell it just wasn't deep enough. And then at one point, Clay is like, "Tell me what you look like, sir." Sir.
He's like, I don't see myself getting to the altar unless like she looked like this. Is that you? I
Right.
like
And
my girl thick. Is that you?
what's funny
No.
about this is AD's body is banging. She is a professional dancer for a
Yeah, she's
basketball team.
exactly his type.
100% his type. But she also understands that this experiment is not about what she looks like, and that she has easily picked up men based on her looks. So she doesn't want that same situation. She wants him to choose her without knowing that she has, you know, is a stack house.
Right. Also, Clay and AD, I like them a lot because I think they would typically meet each other. Like if they were out together, I
100%.
think Clay would approach AD. I think AD would be in love with Clay. She even says that he's really like her type and what she typically goes for. I think that's 100% true. I think she would be giggling at all his jokes in person. I think they are really a genuine couple.
Yeah.
So funny to see when Clay found out that Matthew was his competition, though, because Matthew was again really strange in the house. So,
He
like,
literally
that
was like,
really,
"Matthew, who is
it
that?"
really, really broke Clay's heart that this was his competition.
That was the funniest moment, because he literally did not know who she could possibly be talking about. He was like, "Who the fuck?" And then when it dawned on him, he was like, "Oh, you're gonna gag. You are gonna regret that choice if you choose Matthew." So, and then he
He
goes
was
and
like, I
talks
need
to
a
Kenneth.
moment, actually.
Yeah.
I need some time.
He
Like,
goes and talks to Kenneth, and it's like, if it was
process.
someone like you, I would be like, "Yeah, he's a good dude. That makes sense that I'd be in a triangle with him." But to compare me to Matthew?
Again, yeah.
Not okay. Not okay.
But
There.
also, AD, I mean, with Clay, oh, Clay, it took him a moment to begin to open up. And this really sort of had him moving in the direction of deeper conversations, which I think they needed. Before it was like a lot of jokes, a lot of giggling, but no, nothing of real substance. So I think
Yeah.
this was a moment for him to sort of break down those walls. He started seeing, you know, wanting more conversations. He sounds open to therapy. He
Yeah.
hasn't gone yet.
The one of the things they say when they finally meet is that we're going to get you in therapy. And he said he always wants to do couples therapy. So I think he'll be open. I love that.
I like them.
I do too. I think that we had a moment where we see AD say that Clay is her typical type. And when she sees red flags, she paints her nails to match it. She always goes for that. And I think that she was trying to do something different with Matthew. And then when that backfired, she kind of fell back on what she knows then. Like, you know what? I'm gonna go back to where it's comfortable. I do think though that Clay does want to be married. I will say, so you don't watch Married at First Sight, right?
I have seen seasons, but not
Well,
recently,
but
watch the New Orleans season?
I don't think so.
So the New Orleans season to me was the best season they had. It was the last really good one. And they had two guys on there who were friends. And one of them, his name was Woody. When we met Woody, we thought, well, how does nigga make it on? He's a jokester. He don't want to be married. This is gonna be a fail. Him and his wife just had their second kid from the show. Like the best husband ever. I fucking love following them. They are so cute. Their kids are so cute. He is like the best husband. And I feel like his energy reminds me of Clay, or Clay's energy reminds me of Woody. And I feel like he is just, I'm a jokester and I'll play around a lot, but it's only because I'm trying to hide the fact that I really do want this. I really do
Right.
want to be married.
And it just seems like there's a lot there with Clay. Like, I'm not judgmental, but for example, he didn't know when he gets his ring, right? So this leads me to believe that you haven't seen a lot of marriages, right? Like, it just, I'm not saying that that's 100% true.
We don't
Maybe
know, but it
bad,
seems that
but
way.
yeah, right? So I think part of him is just really scared in general. He seems like, a lot of hurt there. Yeah, and I think they're cute. I really hope they make it to the altar. I think they can help each other a lot. I think they're a beautiful couple. He seems to care about her a lot.
Yeah, I hope they make it too. Right now I have them in the yes file. I hate to do this, but we have to talk about the lashes and the weave for just a second. Just a second, because I love AD. She is a beautiful girl. I went on a deep dive of her social media page, and I'm like, she has beautiful hair by herself. She had beautiful lashes on her own. Why were these choices made? Why were they made? And I have so many questions. My friend watched an interview and she said that she didn't have time or resources to get her like individual lashes put on or something. So she just had to buy strips. Something happened. Something just went wrong. And nobody, not any of the, this is where producers are shady as shit. 'Cause y'all all saw that her lash was on crooked. Y'all all saw that it was drooping and not one of you fixed it. Not one of you did anything. And I'm pissed that they did this to her.
Yeah, I mean, I think she had to think it through on like, okay, if I got individual lashes right now, how long would that last me? At most like 3 weeks. And if I'm in the pods for at least 2 weeks, right? Like then by the end of it, I'm gonna have bald eyes almost, depending on how this goes. So yeah, I think it's just a very hard decision to make with hair, and how you do it throughout this time. But
I want black girls to just get braids. I like stop, especially if you aren't familiar with wigs and weave, or like don't really have like experience with how to take care of them and do them, then just get your hair braided. Because the and like this felt like she went to somebody new and got her hair done who she had never been to before.
well, I think here's what it is like if you're gonna wear a weave with leave out, you need to bring your flat iron too, because you're gonna have to continuously make sure that your blend is blending. The
Whoever
next part
her
about
weave
it is
though,
like,
they did the U part and they didn't braid down enough. So it was like
it was
they
lifted. Yeah,
it was
it was
lifted. It
lifted.
was
It
not good.
wasn't tight. And then on top of that, you don't have to do straight weaves. Like there's other textures that can probably blend a lot better.
Especially if
So
you're hoping to make it to the honeymoon, when you know you're going to be on an
right.
island or around water, maybe we do a wet and wavy or something. I don't know. There's options. But that's why I say you do braids, because then you don't got to worry about leave out at all. You don't got to worry about any of that. You
Well,
get
it just
you some
depends
nice
too.
butterfly braids or whatever they're called, like goddess braids, something that
Those are the
makes
best
you.
time to get in these sort of circumstances, because also you need a braid that as it ages, it also looks better, because you don't know how long this venture is about to be. Hey, listen, a lot of the friends are not okay with AD's leave out situation.
It was upsetting.
Hopefully,
It was triggering. It was very triggering.
we tighten this up in the reunion. You just posted that person who was from The Bachelor. That check their hair often. That's my kind of girly.
Evelyn.
That's my.
And it was so funny as I was messaging with Evelyn as the show was going on, because there was a couple of different scenes where I was like, who's this black girl? I haven't seen her before. She
Oh,
kept
with Evelyn. Would it
changing
be
her hair.
Evelyn with new hair?
I
Yeah.
was like, girl, we don't know you well enough yet. Like, you gotta let me.
Listen.
But I always said that if I went on a show like that where you're there for weeks, I would do something to change my hair all the time too, because then they can't fuck up your clips. They can't like move you around and say things crazy because, oh, well, her hair is green today, so that didn't happen. Like, right. you are.
Otherwise, it's all out of sequence. Like, yes. Yeah, you need to make sure that you show this on the day that I had the ponytail.
You can't show it later. Now, they'll still find other ways, like use your voiceover or whatever, but you can't use my face. So, right. So
when I tell you, I am a fan of the, when Evelyn, when I saw that clip, I was like, yep, I know who I'd be on a television show.
Mm-hmm. And you're so good with the hair clips too. Like, we never know whenever you're changing it up. Like, we don't ever know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. Is it one day it was curly yesterday and now I pop out and it's straight. There you have it.
There, now. different person, different vibes. Yeah. And I'm just locked. Like, the reason why I locked my hair is because I don't want to deal with it. I like to travel. I like to go to tropical places. I like to dive in the water and things. I don't want to have to deal with leave out. I don't want to have to deal with weave and stuff and my own natural curls and products and things. I was sick of it. So I am both empathetic and annoyed because I get it. Like, it's fucking hard to be away from home and not have your tools with you, but there are so many solutions and this just wasn't the right one. Like, the scene where her and Clay are getting ready to go meet the other couples, I was screaming. She's in the mirror, looks fabulous, body amazing, in this blue, like, stomach cutout outfit, and her leave out is like flipped up. I was like, can you not see that?
Yeah, no, she didn't. I think, I don't know.
Also, like, so confused.
I don't know how good she is at flat ironing, because, you know, like, you would be good with a little bit of leave out because you know how to do your hair.
Remember in college?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, but like, you have to kind of know how to flat iron hair too if you want to have leave out, because otherwise it won't blend.
And that's why you, like you said earlier, don't do leave out. Don't do a weave that you need leave out. Get a full wig, have it glued down.
Her glue would have been lifting, similar to when we were watching.
Yeah.
Surviving Paradise. That was also crazy.
Yes. Oh, and then I'm watching Love Island UK right now, and there's a girl there with a gorgeous wig, but there are times where her lace is lifted, and I'm just like, what the fuck? So, I mean, braids. I'm gonna just stay
there. Braids have been the best choice, I think, thus far for the girlies.
Yeah, everybody go follow Justine from Love Island. See her braids. She always does the goddess braids, and she looks phenomenal every single time she's on our TV. It just works. So let's just do that.
Elise with her braids in Surviving Paradise was really cute.
Oh, yes. It was phenomenal. And then when she took them out the last episode and had that fro, and it was like, yes, bitch.
Super cute.
Amazing. I loved it. So, and then, like, even Sari, who she comes from the Survivor world, she had her hair braided for the whole time they were on Big Brother. Yeah, she had her hair braided the whole time. And that is probably the longest filming of any of these shows. And the fact that she had braids the whole time and they never looked ratty, they never looked bad. So let's just stick with braids. And to your point about the lashes, yes, I understand. And I know that, like individuals can fall out. I would have loved to have seen her start off with individuals and then maybe we switch to like a thinner strip or something if you have to. But it was not only the one being crooked, but it was the magnitude of them.
She chose a wrong strip too. Like, I'm not going to lie about that. That's not a good strip lash in general. It wasn't like a cute choice. To your point, her individuals probably would have been silly too. Like, I don't think she would have chose a lash that... There's something about her last choice that I don't like.
On her social media though, I don't ever see her with that. Like, it's never.
Oh wow.
It's never spiders on her face. So I was like, what made you choose these? Like, why was this what you decided to go to when you've never really used those before? So that's why I was like, was she just like, I want to try something more dramatic for TV and fuck it?
Maybe that's what she thought. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. And I just wish somebody had been more of a better friend in that house and helped her out, because I'm positive mascara would have just been better at this point.
Yeah, but she's super cute too.
She's very cute. And that's what was annoying me, is like, whenever cute girls do things that don't flatter them, I'm just like, so like, you're trying to follow a trend and you don't have to follow a trend because you are cute without the trend.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I did not like how everyone sexualized her on the honeymoon though.
That was so, okay. Yeah. That was like the kind of the end of the six episodes, was them really making her uncomfortable, sexualizing her. I'm glad that she shut it down. I'm glad that she was able to speak up and say, like, that wasn't cool. I didn't like that. She didn't just like joke around with it. The only one that I feel like got blown out of proportion that wasn't a big deal was the fight with Chelsea
Jimmy and
and
Chelsea.
Jimmy. So we can kind of lead into them now. So on the beach, they have a fight because Jimmy is very attracted to AD and just thinks her body is amazing. So he ends up speaking to her for probably like 15 minutes. It was probably a long time they were talking. And Chelsea completely blows this out of proportion in her head. Like by the time they get back to the room, she's like, you were spinning her around, looking at her body and ogling her.
I don't think, maybe, I didn't see that clip though.
They didn't show that to us. So if that happened, we did not see it. Jimmy claims that he didn't do that. I'm inclined to believe Jimmy. I have no reason to not believe him.
I don't see AD allowing that to happen either.
Yeah.
It would.
Yeah. I feel like AD wouldn't even, I feel like she wouldn't even let him hold her hand to do that, you know? So, yeah.
Also, to be fair, Chelsea somewhat initiates this awkward exchange as well.
She started.
Because, right, Jimmy says to Chelsea, wow, she's really set. Mm-hmm. Right. Very privately, off to the side. And Chelsea goes, oh, AD, he said, your body's banging. What do? To work out. So, you know, AD's like, oh, I work out really, you know.
He said, how do you get that body? And she said, squats and Jesus.
So, you know, he kind of goes over, in my opinion, to talk to AD so that this isn't as awkward as it was. Right. Like, he kind of is like, hey, you know, and to be fair, is really talking about how happy he is with Chelsea during this time. I laugh because that's all he talks about. And I think he's saying it this often to convince himself.
Yes. Because even when he goes to talk to the women, he's like, I'm probably the happiest one here.
He's like, I'm happy. You happy? I'm happy. I'm happy. I ain't never been so happy in my life. Like, he's like, I'm happy. She's gorgeous. And it's perfect. I'm happy. She's gorgeous. And it's perfect.
He started saying, I'm happy. You know it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. That was him.
He's not happy, friends. And I don't know if he's happy as much as he's disappointed. So I think the world agrees that Chelsea played a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous game.
Yes. Yes, she did. So back in the pods, she decides to bring this up out of, like, it was not even him. She said, do you have a celebrity lookalike? He says, yeah, but then we never hear who his is. I've seen quite a few comparisons online, but like he never says who it is. All of a sudden she says, yeah, people tell me that I look like MJK's, is that his name? MJK, his girlfriend or his wife?
MJK.
Yeah, MJK. And she acts like she doesn't know this woman's name. The woman is Megan Fox. Probably like one of the sexiest white women ever in existence. And people tell you that you look like her, but you don't even know her name. I call bullshit, first of all.
Right. That's who you hope you look like.
Right. Now, then she doubles down because he gets all excited. Well, first of all, he's trying to figure out.
Like, what?
So he's like, MGK. Megan Fox? You look like Megan Fox? And she goes, just the eyes and the dark hair. We just both have light eyes and dark hair. It's not. She like tries to laugh it off. He is already sold. Jimmy is like, I'm sold. I'm picking her. It don't matter what anybody else says.
Right. This is the moment he is no longer on the Jessica train. Mm-hmm. Like, this is literally, you watch him switch and he's completely like, I have to see Chelsea.
Right.
To be fair, I think one of the best comparisons on what Chelsea actually looks like is a cross between Natalie Nunn and Adele. I think she really has that sort of look. So to say Megan Fox, and I think Chelsea is a pretty girl. I will say that as well. But when you say you look like Megan Fox, he's expecting Megan Fox to come through. And she does not look like Megan Fox at all.
So the chats, people have...
Well, with the eyes and the dark hair. She's right. It is. Those are the two areas.
And that is. That's it. And so I literally, somebody said that she looked like Jay Leno. And I was like, okay, I made a picture of Megan Fox with Jay Leno's like, this chin part, because Chelsea does have a longer chin, and that is exactly what she looks like. She does have Megan Fox's eyes. I can see that, and she does have darker hair. It just, that's where the comparison really ends. So she wasn't lying. She does have Megan Fox's eyes and her hair, or not even the hair, because her hair isn't as dark, but she does have dark hair and light, really pretty eyes. But I think he just got lost on the Megan Fox, and he couldn't get past that.
Ironically, if he really wanted Megan Fox, it would have been better to go with who was seemingly his first choice.
Yeah. Of the two, And like, I'm sorry, it just is what it is. Jessica, if you put Jessica and Chelsea in a bar at the same time, they're not going to get the same men. They are going to get very different men. And most of the men are going to go for Jessica first. And if she gets taken, then Chelsea will be second. It just is what it is. Unfortunately, I thought that's our society. And it's not even because Chelsea is a little bit bigger. I don't think that she holds herself like, because I'm a bigger girl. Like, you and I are not the same body type. But like, I hold myself with a different type of confidence that accentuates my curves better. Like, Chelsea does not
Yeah.
do that.
Chelsea doesn't know what to wear
No.
for her, like to accentuate her body. Like when she was at the reveal, I was like, dang, why isn't her like her chest
Scoop
on
up.
display? So
Yeah,
like, yeah. And it was like a
scoop it.
bodycon dress, and she really doesn't have any backside. So like it was really gripping in the wrong places.
Like,
But then all
if you are curvy without the curves, you gotta wear Spanx. You gotta wear something that's gonna
I
give you
think she had that on. I think she did have
curvy.
that on.
Well,
Yeah.
it wasn't the right one.
Actually, I'm pretty sure she did because I was watching. But also, she's not as graceful, I would say. Because
Yeah.
remember when she ran out during the,
Reveal. And she did it
during
like
the
three different
reveal?
times. She did it with the girls too. And I was just like, girl, we gotta stop doing this run.
Yeah, that run is not really it. So I think in general, she's just like a very funny, chill kind of girly, which is great. But I think his real type was. I think his real type was Jessica. I think he really would have loved Jessica.
Yeah. So to kind of pivot over to the Jessica of it all. So to give their ages, we have Jimmy, who is 28, Jessica is 29, Chelsea is 31. Oh, I didn't even realize she was older than them. And then we'll talk about Trevor in a second, but Trevor is also 31. So Jessica and Jimmy, we see them hit it off like immediately. Jessica is a single mom, which is the first time we've ever had this on the show. First, let's discuss. Do you think this is a show for single parents?
Ooh.
There's been a lot of discourse about it. A lot of people are saying single parents shouldn't go on dating shows. I don't feel like that's fair.
Yeah, that doesn't feel fair.
This show in particular
I
is.
think it's very strange to bring, because like imagine if you chose Matthew, and Matthew's basically a sociopath, in
And
my
now you
opinion.
expose your kid
And
to.
he only had 3 weeks to do this, right?
Yeah.
Now he's in life, he's super integrated, and like this kid the next day is like, this is my dad, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it is a very quick and intense experience. To so like I think I would say the same thing at like Married at First Sight, right? Like, hi, you're a dad today too, and like you're in this house with
Yeah.
my daughter.
No, couldn't do it. So
Yeah.
I think in order for it to work on a show like this, you have to have all single parents. Like, everybody here is a single parent, and we all understand the gravity of the seriousness here. I don't think it's fair to expose anybody to your child so quickly. So when they asked Jessica if she's told any of the men yet, she hadn't told any of them. She decided she wanted to hold that secret until she had made some connections. I definitely think that's a choice. I don't know if I 100% agree with it, but what I did agree with is that it should be brought up organically when you are talking about having kids. Like, you have, when someone asks you, like, oh, do you want kids? What's your thought about being a mom or dad? Then that's when you bring it up. Oh, yeah, well, I have a child and she's 10, and like, bring it up that way. The way she chose to bring it up, first she got him all nervous because she's like, I have something to tell you. And it's not a bad thing. It's not like she's like literally laying the framework that I thought she was about to drop some, I have this illness, I have like cancer, stage three, I'm
Right, long
dying
walk
soon.
to remember.
Yes, it was very like she set this up for it to be a really bad conversation. And so his reaction was, well, why didn't you tell me this earlier? And she's, was like, well, I want you to get to know me first. Then they have a pretty decent conversation about it. She tells him how she had her daughter. Her daughter's now 10. And she said her father and I have a great friendship, but we just never got married, never stayed together. So he's like, cool. Well, this is not a deal breaker for me. And they seem to end that conversation relatively well. Then we see him talk to the guys later, and he says that he's not sure about being an insta-dad. So that seems like it's going to be an issue for him. Then later, we see them talking about their modern families, because both of them come from really different upbringings, where he both of his parents had been married before, had kids from a previous relationship, and one of them was even the step parent of an adopted child that she took custody of because her father died.
When
Yeah,
she was a widow.
like completely like blended families, which you love to see. So when they started talking about this, I felt personally like he would be okay with the blended family. He would have no problem with being a stepdad. I just think that it happening this quick, he I think probably better understands that like you can't blend a family that quickly. You can't just jump into a kid's life. What if this doesn't work out? Now I've got a kid involved. That's a lot to ask when I was just coming on here to find a permanent travel buddy. But so that same day that she tells him that she has a kid, later that evening, Chelsea tells him that she used to be married. So he's just like overwhelmed with these
Today's been a
truths.
rough day, is basically what happened with him. He
Yeah,
was like, wow.
very rough day. And to his credit, he does tell Chelsea that this bombshell was way easier to handle than the one he had earlier, but somehow their conversation still goes awry. I did not understand how this happened, but all of a sudden Chelsea like walks out crying, and I was very confused about it. Did you understand what happened?
I think that was just like a very, like, she was vulnerable and wanted some more support.
And he just didn't have it in him.
He didn't have it in him. Yeah. So I think she was just like processing on her own and got emotional. And like, it didn't end up being the next day they were fine. You know, she even said that she respected how he reacted in that moment. I think she was just, you know, like being really, she wanted what happened with Jessica, like more follow-up questions, hold a little space. And he kind of was like, all right, I've had a rough day. I'll talk to you later about this, you know?
That's
Which
fair.
I get it because we saw the fullness of the day, right? But I think if you're being vulnerable and this is the guy that you want to be with, you want, she's like, do you have any questions? He's like, honestly, no, I want to nap.
It's like I'm tapped out. I have nothing to say. And then we see her the conversation with Trevor, where she talks about it, and it's completely lighter conversation. So we see Jessica, we only see Jessica connecting with Jimmy, but we see Chelsea connecting with Jimmy and Trevor. And the conversations with Trevor seem to be so much better throughout the entire show that we then become confused when she can't decide between the two. It made no sense. So at some point, Jimmy comes back to Jessica and seems to be, fine with the whole parenthood thing. But where they seem to go wrong again is Jimmy wants a woman who seems to like be the leader to like tell him what to do almost. And Jessica's like, I already have a child. I don't need another one.
I think this comes back to Jessica was too real and just like laid it all out there, was direct, was calling him her husband on like day two, according to our watch. You know, like it was really the letter she wrote was very vulnerable and very put out there. But he played a silly game because he was like, after Jessica wrote that very heartfelt letter, he read it. He said he wasn't ready to tell anyone that he loved them. And then he went and told Chelsea right after that that he loved her. So I think he was just more so what was upsetting was I think he knew early that being a father was too much for him. And he didn't share that with Jessica. And he should have. That's my biggest gripe.
I think that's what she meant when she said later on that he ruined this experience for her. Because if the reason is that you weren't ready to be a father, you should have said that immediately. Like you, if you, if that is really the reason, then you should have said something. That's why I was kind of going back and forth with like if I really do think that was the reason. And we do see that they connect later on. So I don't for sure know if that is the reason. I think it was a mix of Chelsea has less baggage. And I'm not calling, I'm not saying that her child is baggage, but like she's had a very hard life. She has a lot of emotional baggage and a lot going on with her that Chelsea just doesn't seem to have. Like Chelsea seems very much more lighthearted. It as we see it in the pods anyway. There's other stuff Chelsea has going on that we'll talk about in a second, but as we see it in the pods, he would have a much lighter time with Chelsea than he would with Jessica. And then the way that she kind of told him off I think he was like, oh no, I don't want a woman who's gonna tell me off like that. I just want a woman who's gonna let me just do my fuckery.
Right, right. But the way she ate with that final speech and was like, wait till you see me. And now all that is in the back of his head because he's not attracted to Chelsea right now.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it. He keeps saying that he is, but it just, it's written all over his body language that he's not attracted.
He thinks Doth protests too much because he has said it so many times. Like, well, looks don't really matter. And I am attracted to her, but
yeah, she's gorgeous. I'm happy. She's perfect.
She's just not my detox, but like, she's fine.
And then he was like, yeah, like Jessica said, I'm going to be so upset when I see her.
I'm going to need an EpiPen.
He was probing to see what she looks like. And the truth of the matter is when he sees her, I think he is going to have a heart attack.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, Jimmy does not deserve a girl who looks like Jessica.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, yeah.
Yeah. Truth of the matter is, looks wise, you and Chelsea are paired correctly.
Not on. Yep.
But it's also a well-known fact that a lot of pretty women date beneath us. because when a man like loves you more and thinks he has a prize, he treats you better.
Yeah, I think, you know, we keep talking about the fashion. I think this is my time to talk about Jimmy and what I hate about him, which is he does not have no sock swagger and he refuses to wear a sock, friends. It is so terrible. He's doing it with suit at the reveal. He's doing it in the shots that are for the promo. So this is his thing. Yeah, he looks like his feet are terribly sweaty and smell terrible in those shoes.
I feel like the no socks look has to be in like a tight suit on a really like fit guy. Like it can't, he's a little too sloppy for that. The outfit that he has with this is like, where are you going? Because your top half and your bottom half are in the same place.
are you okay?
Yeah. Because yeah. I like the no socks look personally. I know a lot of people don't. I love it. This is not how you do it, though. This is not it.
No, right. Which is my point. That's all I'm saying is like, I don't hate the look. I hate you and the look.
The way you executed it was incorrect.
Yeah. There you have it.
Yeah. So
what's wrong with Chelsea? What do you think's the matter with Chelsea? What's some of her?
The shapewear, if she is wearing it, you said she is. I don't personally believe it. If she is wearing shapewear, it's not the right ones. Sometimes people think that they're supposed to wear shapewear that is not suffocating them, and that's incorrect. Shapewear.
I don't think it's that. I think she has better cuts of dresses. So like bodycon is not her.
No, yeah. She needs an A-line dress, like a little skater skirt type of situation.
Skater skirt.
Something that pushes up her boobs, like something that shows the cleavage, pushes the boobs up, and then flares out at her hips to make her look like she has a silhouette.
Yeah, I forget who had it on, but someone, I think Laura at the reveal had on like a more loose fitting, almost like Greek goddess sort of fitting sort of dress. And I was like, that would have been so much better on her silhouette. It's less about that with me. With Chelsea, I hope her and Jimmy don't make it to the altar because she's going to drive herself mad.
Yeah.
She's attractive.
She's very insecure. She also reminds me of Zainab, but in a different way. Like she's like the insecure parts of her that it's just, it's hard to watch because you can tell all of her reactions to Jimmy are based off of her own insecurities. So after the whole him talking to AD on the beach, they go back to the hotel room and fight forever about her jealousy because it didn't make her feel good that he was talking to her. And she has imagined, well, I shouldn't say she imagined it, but we didn't see it. He claims he didn't do it. It seems like she's imagined a whole scenario that happened that we did not see. And is basically like, you have to apologize for it. But then when he apologizes, she's like, no, you're still wrong. It was very hard. Yeah.
There's literally nothing he can do at this point. He has no idea what he can do. We as the audience have no idea what he can do better. But she won't drop it and won't. I don't know what she wants at that point, in all honesty. I have no idea what could have moved that conversation forward. I think everybody was just really, really drunk. It was outrageous.
I feel like she just wanted him to be like, I think you are so fucking hot. You look like Megan Fox and I wouldn't want anybody else. And in that moment, he just can't do that because it's not true. Like, he might think she's beautiful, but you are not Megan Fox. I find AD, her body, amazing. And so he, in that moment, I just don't think he could give her what she fully wanted, mostly because he also did not know what it was that she wanted.
I think the yeah, I think the sad reality is that what she wants from him, I don't think he can really provide her, which is like really being super attracted to her. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have been attracted to her. I think he was expecting something else on the other side of that door, and was not Megan Fox.
And the bottom line is, I think had she never said that and he picked her anyway, I don't think they'd be having these problems.
Yeah, that's like that's the wild part. I think that's wild. I think he would have been almost just fine with like, great, that's
Yeah.
who you are.
And but then on the other flip side of that is that would he have picked her if she hadn't said Megan Fox?
I think he would have probably been with Jessica and
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it's like a catch 22. Like, she's maybe starting to feel like he only picked me because I sound like Megan Fox, and now it has colored every interaction that they have. So
yeah. And he can't talk about it. I think if they were able to just talk about it and get it out the way, maybe we can move past it. But like I feel like he tried to talk about it and it was kind of like
it got
walking
brushed
on
over.
landmines and like, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I remember he said something like, he said, I don't remember what he said, but he definitely brought it up and it just got brushed over away. It was like, okay, so we're just not gonna, we're like, okay, we're just gonna keep going. So yeah, I don't think this couple is gonna make it. We do see some scenes with Jessica getting involved and Chelsea accusing him of fucking somebody. I don't know if it's Jessica or something else, somebody else. I feel like that would be absolutely insane if Jessica fucked him. I actually don't think I would respect that on her end if she did that.
Yeah.
But it could be someone from his past. Like, maybe he goes and sees like an ex-girlfriend or something and hooks up with her. I don't know. But there, Chelsea is has a
Wow.
reason. Yeah, Chelsea has a reason to accuse him of this. I don't know if it's more of her imagination things. We will see. But yeah, their entire interaction throughout the pods just felt like she was talking about her insecurities. Like, at one point she talks about how she was the only person in flight attendant training who didn't go to college, and she seems very insecure about that,
Yeah.
which is crazy because you don't
She
need a
also has,
college to be a flight attendant.
yeah, so she
You're
should be
funding,
happy
so it's like,
about
yeah,
that too,
like,
because you
hey,
don't have debt.
you don't have debt, you didn't waste your money, you didn't, you don't have this
Yeah.
useless paper that your parents are constantly like do something with.
But I also think, she has very visceral reactions to everything where it's like, I'm gonna throw up, I'm gonna throw up. And that was always something for me. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's she does a lot. So I strongly feel that this couple, more than any of the other ones, came together because they both wanted to win over somebody else. Jimmy wanted to beat out Trevor, and Chelsea wanted to beat Jessica. It made no sense. And at one point, Trevor even says to her, when she is rejecting him, so she gets engaged to Jimmy, and then she goes to have a conversation with Trevor. And Trevor, first of all, he says, so you're picking a guy who you were not always his only one. You've been my only one this whole time, and you're picking somebody who was trying to decide between you two. And then he asks her, if I had come in here first and proposed to you, would you have said yes to me? And she does not say no. She does not say no. She like falls back and is silent. And Trevor was like, wow, that response doesn't really bode well for Jimmy, which it doesn't. Because if you had to think about it, then girl, why are you engaged to Jimmy?
There you have it.
I think.
They are a no for me, a solid no.
Yeah. And we do see Trevor and her have a connection as well. I hope. I would absolutely love it if they just get with the people they're supposed to be with. We see her and Trevor get together, and then Jimmy is with Jessica, and all is well that ends well.
Yeah, no, I'd be okay with that because Trevor really does like Chelsea, and Chelsea deserves to have someone that really is into her, and it's not just. That's why they can't work out.
Yep, exactly. So that would be the perfect ending. I think that would be such a different ending too. Like, besides that kind of happening with Zach and Bliss, this would be very unique to see that happen, and they just end up with the people they should have ended up with in the first place, which I think would be that would be like a whole other conversation on like trusting your gut instinct versus like oh my God, I want to go for this person because someone else wants him, you know? Oh, the conversation.
Yeah, that would be a good special.
Yep. So I think that's all that I really have to say about this, these six episodes. What about you, Brie?
Yeah, I feel complete. Looking forward to the next few unrolling out of different things, unveiling, but
The
rolling
drop
out,
of the imagination.
dropping.
I
Yeah.
think it's not going to be six episodes this next time. I forget
I
what
think
they
it's 7 to 9 is the next one, if I'm not
it's
mistaken.
more. Oh no, you're meaning episode 7 to 9. I was like, bitch, what?
You're like seasons. No, I think episodes 7 through 9 come out next,
Okay.
and then 10 and maybe like 11, 12, I don't know, 10,
Yeah, I think I
11.
did see there was 12 episodes this season, so and then we'll have a reunion. But yeah, I wish that even with this first drop that they would not have dropped six episodes all at once. Like, why can't we break it down? Do the pause first, then the honeymoon time, then the at home time, and then the wedding time. Like let's put it in seasons, you know, like segments, so it's easier to follow.
Well, we're not done with the honeymoon yet.
That's, oh wait, yeah, you're right, actually.
I think that was just, we did basically get the pods and then they arrived at the honeymoon space. I think 7 through 9 will still be at honeymoons. Maybe the last one they'll move into the real world.
Well, yeah,
But then
because
I think.
what they showed for the previews felt like it was gonna be a lot of that real world stuff. So maybe it'll be
Oh,
like
yeah.
episode 7 will be the conclusion of the honeymoon, which we keep calling it a honeymoon, which it's really not, but it is, but it's not. It's like
It's their honeymoon, though.
because I'm honeymooning to do after you get married, so technically it's a pre-moon.
Yeah. Whatever. But they
Yeah.
call it their honeymoon, don't they? I feel like they call it that
I
too.
think that they might say that because they're dumb and don't know what hands ring goes on and
Yep.
things, you know?
Oh my gosh, that was something. He was like, "Do I get one too?" Yes, you get one.
Yeah, there was a lot of
You get
things that
one,
were
brother.
said incorrectly. I was like, I'm not going to keep notes and be a grammar Nazi. We all say wrong things. I've said probably like 50, 11 r wrong things on this podcast, but it was just funny to see. So yeah,
Yeah,
I.
you saw me get to that unveiling, rolling out,
Yeah.
dropping.
Yeah, well, listen, we struggle. It's fine. I think that this is more of like a vacation in a group. So, our first vacation together as a couple with our couple friends. So, we will see how
Yeah,
this all
well,
concludes, and we'll be
looking
back
forward to
to chat about it. Thanks for
it.
joining me, Bree. Go ahead and let us know what your socials
Absolutely.
are.
Follow Brie, like the cheese, Marie, MARI. So you need the follow in there as well. That's on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter. I mean, most social media platforms at this point. So playlists on Apple Music, all of that. So yeah.
Perfect. All right, guys. We will see you next week. Bye. Thank you for joining me, and a special shout out to my guests. All of their social media and page info can be found in the show notes. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast and my Instagram page at kickingitwith_Ray. That's RAE. Theme song was created by Chad Milner, and producing and editing was all done by me. See you next week.